All right, let me invite you over to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32.
Luke chapter 24, verse 32 reads this way, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church. And Lord, again, knowing and understanding that you are in our very midst, we pray again, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight, Lord, and to lift you up and to worship you and to grow in the grace that you've given to us. Bless the service tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is The Witnesses, or The Witness of the Resurrection of Christ in Us. The Witness of the Resurrection of Christ in Us as believers. Now, I'm going to do something tonight, just a little bit, how would you say? I hope this is an encouragement. I want to share some truths tonight. I want to ask you to hold your place right here and go over to the book of John where we were at this morning. And maybe you've seen this, and sometimes we might skip over things that we don't understand. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21. And I hope to put a little bit of light to these truths here. This is fairly new to me also, and I'll tell you what I was taught in seminary school, and it was kind of a question mark there. And I want you to see what the Lord, and again, I don't know how I think what we're going to do is we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. I don't know that I'm going to give you the exact definition here. I think it is. But look with me, if you will. Jesus is speaking to the disciples there in John chapter 20, verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And so when you look at this, that might cause maybe, what does that mean? And I think somebody had said it was church authority, and I put a question mark on there. I really didn't understand that. I did do a little research. I did do some digging into that. I didn't know that I would come up with the answer, but here's what I think it means, and I want to share this with you. When we study the Scriptures, I'm convinced of this. If there's a problem with my understanding, it's exactly that. It's a problem with me understanding what God is trying to say. Many times, he spoke to the disciples, and they did not understand. Now, the Lord said this in verse 21. He said, "As my Father sent me, even so send I you." Let's just say this. The Father sending Jesus into the world was a very unique thing, right? There's only one Savior, and that was a unique office to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in agreement on that, right? And then now also the calling of the 12 disciples who are also called apostles, one sent by the Lord. And not only that, but and when they were going to choose another apostle after the death of Judas, you remember what they said. They had to company with them. They had to be with the Lord before they could be a candidate. So the position of apostleship was unique to those apostles. There's no more apostles today, right? We all understand that. So I am convinced this was a prelude, if you will, of what was going to be given to the church that the Lord was doing here to the apostles. So what does this mean? Well, let me show you. Go over to the book of Acts. You're right here in the New Testament. Look at Acts chapter 5. Just want to remind you, two places in Acts. And I think this also happened in the life of Paul as well. But notice this here, verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession," right? And so what happened was Peter, under the power, influence, and position of the Holy Spirit, was given insight into this. And so he judged Ananias and Sapphira, did he not? They were judged. Did they die? That was a unique position. I don't believe there's anybody in this position anymore like this. Not only that, but you're right here in the book of Acts. Go over to Acts chapter 8, and let me show you something here. And look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. You remember Simon, the sorcerer? And when Simon saw, verse 18, Acts 8, 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles, look at that, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. By whose hands was the Holy Ghost given? By the apostles. Did you see that there? I didn't make that up. So verse 18, and when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if he perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So he judged him right there, did he not? I think this is what the Lord was talking about there in the Gospel of John. I think it harmonizes with the Scriptures, as opposed to thinking that the church has the authority to do something like this. I think that was something unique to the apostles. And what you'll find is that there'll always be a congruency. There'll always be a harmonizing of the Scriptures with these truths. And we might receive more light. But as we study the Word of God, there's always good things to follow. Okay, back to the book of Luke. That was all free. That has really nothing to do other than just God giving us light to understand His Word. Luke chapter 24, we want to look at tonight the power that our Savior desires to place in the life of every believer. And this is simply the work of God in us. And this is really where we see the witness of the resurrection of Christ in the believer, in your life and in mine. And so there's a process. Let's look tonight at the process that the Lord uses to do this work of the witness of the resurrection power of God in our lives. First of all, Jesus himself draws near. That's important. Jesus himself draws near. Well, how close is the Lord to you? Well, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. So he's in you, right? And you're in him. Then we find a pleading with God. And this is where, listen, the Lord is readily available, but God wants us to plead with him. And then we'll see the power of God. So look with me, if you will, back up to verse 13. And notice what's going on. And I do want to make mention of this. The disciples are dismayed, are they not? They're distraught. There's a problem in their life. Things aren't going the way they think they should be going. Have you ever had any of those days? Things are just not going the way I'd like for them to go. But God is aware of that, and it's specifically even concerning our relationship with him. So verse 13 says this, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 6.61 miles if you do the math on that. And they talked together of all these things that which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, so they're talking about spiritual things, right? But it's not on a positive. There's a problem. If you come to a scripture that puzzles you, that maybe even troubles you, make a note of that. Make a note of that. Put a little asterisk by it there, and maybe talk to a fellow believer. You can ask me. I may or may not know the answer, but I will look into it because I think God wants us to understand these things. And so here's this problem that they're facing. They're not understanding what's coming together. And it says this in verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Don't you like that? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So they had this problem. They were talking about it. And the Lord gets involved in this situation. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, God is not playing a trick, but he develops in us faith in him. He develops in you and I. He creates an unforgettable experience with you and I personally. Listen, as Peter, James, and John and all the disciples looked back on the Lord's earthly ministry, do you think they saw God using everything that he did for their good? Do you think he said, you think they had these aha moments as they contemplated and just thought about all the things that the Lord was doing in their lives during his earthly ministry? And then they said, oh, that's why he was doing this, or that's why he did that. And he was making sense. And so he creates this situation that we don't always understand at the very moment. I think of Joseph. God gave him a dream. And Joseph just trusted the Lord, did he not, through that whole experience there. And then finally, when it all came to pass, when it all came to fruition, do you think Joseph said, I just trusted the Lord, but now I see clearly everything God was doing. I didn't always understand it. I would dare say Joseph didn't always appreciate it either when the brothers were mistreating him. But he could surely see that God meant how much of it for good? All of it for good. He knew that. In fact, he told his brothers when they were apologizing to him, when they were saying, we're sorry, don't take it out on us in so many words. He said to them, oh no, listen. You may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In fact, for the saving not only of you, but of your families as well. And so he held no hard feelings toward his brothers. And that's a work of the Lord as well. So, verse 16, but their eyes were holden and they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? This is amazing. That ye have one toward another as ye walk and are sad. So the Lord could see that the expressions on there, they're having a communication, and the Bible and the Holy Spirit is wanting you and I to know this for sure. They are not happy. If you're sad, you're not happy. Amen. They were not happy, and so the Lord took note of that, and he's relaying this to you and I. Why? Because there are times in our lives that we are not happy, we are in fact sad, and God is working in our lives. We don't feel that way. I promise you, the disciples, let me ask you this. Do you think the disciples felt abandoned? Do you think maybe the disciples were disillusioned a little bit? Do you think they were confused as to what was going on? In fact, would you say that they never saw this coming? And yet the Lord told them, but they didn't see it. They didn't understand it, but they are going to understand it. So, verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now, do you get that? Are you oblivious? Are you not aware? Are you not from here? Because everybody from here knows what was going on. I mean, listen, the Jews conspired to hide the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in cahoots with the Roman government. So this was a big thing. This was not just a isolated, set off to the side little incident that had taken place. This was known abroad because Jesus was not a obscure figure. He was a national figure to the Hebrews because he was sent to the Jews first and then to the whole world. So listen, did the Lord know how these disciples were going to respond in this way? Yes, he did. But I want you to see that the Lord is not just our Savior. Please don't misunderstand me. He's our Savior. We worship him, but he's also our friend. He says, listen, you are no longer servants. You are what? Friends. Do you see? Why does the Lord take the time to explain all of these things to us because he wants us to understand our relationship and he wants you and I to know that he is approachable, especially when we're sad. And to realize this on this side, that he is doing a work even in those times. So they said to him, "Hey, are you a stranger? Where are you from? Don't you understand what's gone on? Listen, in Jerusalem, hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" Gotta love it. What things? Okay, does he know what things? He is the center of what things. Amen? But he is, why is he doing that? Is he getting ready to expound the scriptures to them in such a way where their hearts are going to burn? The Lord is wanting to bring them to this, but in order to do that, he is wanting them to rehearse and to remember and to be reminded of all these things that he's lining it all up for them to understand, to have that light bulb aha moment take place in their hearts and minds. So he says, what things? What are you talking about? Verse 19, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Now listen, this is their testimony. This is their heart being revealed. Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, they think he's gone, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Do they know what happened? Yeah. They're sharing the betrayal of the Lord. So notice this, a continued revelation really. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today, amazing, listen, is the third day since these things were done. Do you think that was important? The third day, out of their own mouths, they're not getting it. They are not getting it, but they will get it. Don't you know? Listen, they said to each other, here we are, we're telling him it's the third day. We're telling the Lord all these things. And we thought he didn't know about it, and it was him right in our very midst. Listen, what a revelation. And so, verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, so I want you to see this here. This is the Lord drawing near to them. This is the Lord bringing this out to the forefront of their thinking. They were already rehearsing these things. They were already discussing these things. But God was now going to take it and bless this situation for them. So, verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now listen, only God can say this and do this in such a way that it caused their hearts to burn. This was not insulting to them. This was a revelation to them. This was a blessing. God was giving them a wow moment. And so they're in tune. Now look how the Lord works. He says, you talk to me and tell me what you saw. You tell me how you saw it. And now let me explain to you how it is. Because the way we see things are not always the way God wants us to see them. And so they gave their version of how they saw it. And by the way, they are dismayed. They're not in a good place. They were sad from the mouth of the Lord. They were sad. Okay, so he says this. He says, oh, listen, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It's been before you the whole time, he's saying. Listen, how many times have you gone to the Word of God and saw something you never saw before and had an aha moment? That was the Lord through the Holy Spirit bringing you to that truth. And you're like, it was there the whole time. How did I miss that? That's us. But it is like the Lord to give us, praise God for the aha moment, amen, that God gives us, so because it revolutionizes our lives. So he says this, when he says that in verse 26, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And here's the truth. They understood it. They didn't receive it. They would say, oh, of course we've read that before. It confused us. But ought not these, shouldn't this have been the way things were supposed to go? And of course they would say, well, yeah, now that come to think of it, now that you say it that way, now that you put it that way, he was supposed to be the sacrifice for the whole world. And so now he's saying, hey, look, shouldn't it have been done like this and then enter into his glory? How did they have it? Oh, he was going to be glorified right now, right here. He was going to just, be the ruler. And they thought that, some of them thought that, oh, that would be the end of Rome, amen, as a government, that the zealots, that's what they thought Messiah was going to be. But that was not the way the word told us how he was going to come in and what he was going to do for the salvation of mankind. So, Verse 27 now, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. Boy, when the Lord expounds, believe it, you're going to understand. And so he expounded unto them all the scriptures, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And now here's what I want you to see. So this is Jesus drawing near. This is the Lord whetting the spiritual appetite, giving to you an opportunity to say, don't go away, Lord, I want some more. And so he created that in them, and now there has to be this pleading with God. Yes, Lord, I believe you have more to tell me, more to reveal, and I want to see more of what you want to do in my life. So he gives them this, verse 28, and they drew nigh. He explained to them all the things concerning the Messiah, beginning at Moses in verse 27, and they drew nigh, look at the timing, and the Lord knew this, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. You got to love that. He does not force himself. He doesn't infiltrate our life. He does not do that to the lost, and he does not do that to the saved. But he will be invited. He will be invited. And so as you consider this, he makes as though he would have gone further. Now, let me ask you this. Did he want to be invited in? Yes, he did, didn't he? He did want it. It is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I invite him into our lives, that you and I invite him into our hearts and into our minds. I'm not talking about salvation. As a child of God, God still wants first place in our lives, but he'll not infiltrate, but he will be invited. And so it says this in verse 29, as he makes like he's going to go further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now listen, did you see this? Look what they said to him. Abide with us, for it is toward the evening and the day is far spent. It couldn't have been a better opportunity. Listen, look, it's already dark. They were making, I don't want to say excuses. They were making concession to bring the Lord in, is what they were doing. You and I, listen, this is a revelation for you and I. Say, Lord, look, it's a wonderful time for you to meet with me as I'm, Lord, you've called me to open up your word. What a beautiful time to have you now explain your word to me. Here I am in the morning, first thing, I'm going to read a verse, Lord, and it will be to little to no avail unless you tell me what you want me to hear. Do you think God wants to hear that? Lord, what a wonderful time of the day it is today. This is the one or couple of two, 3 minutes that Brother George has said, you know, seek the Lord for just one or two, 3 minutes and watch what God will do. And so by faith, I'm opening up the word of God. And Lord, wouldn't it be to your glory to do something in your word for me to open up and wow me? God wants to do that. Come to the Lord with an expectation. Lord, you've promised that the word of God does not return void. Do you think he had that intention also for the believer? Absolutely. Listen, does God want you and I to be fed with his word? It's important. Listen, the preaching of the word of God is important, and it honors the Lord. But just as important is your personal pursuit of spiritual things. And God will reveal it to you. If you will seek God, listen, personally in your own life, God will bless you. And I will just have the privilege of fanning the flame with the same word and with the same spirit. And so come in and you've already been with the Lord. And now all of a sudden, maybe this has always happened to me before I was in the ministry. I would discuss things. I had a fellow that I worked with that was a believer. We went to the same church in Tampa. Well, I was in Plant City, Florida, but we worked in Tampa. And we would discuss things. I was training him in the job. And we would discuss things Monday, Tuesday, and even Wednesday. And then we would go to church. And boy, if the preacher didn't talk about exactly what we were talking about and explain it. And we sat on the same side, right? There was two sides like this. And he would look over at me, and I'd look over at him, you know, and we would just, you know, make that eye contact. Well, look at that. Look what God did. We had a question. We were talking about something. We weren't sure about the answer. And lo and behold, the preacher happens. He just happened to do that, right? No, he blesses that. Okay, so watch this. So they constrain him, verse 29, saying, "Abide with us. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. The work was already done. The last ingredient was inviting God in. Listen, you've heard the word, but when we invite God in, our eyes are opened. Our eyes are opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The work was already done, or he would have stuck around a little while longer, right? And so, and they said one to another, listen, they got it now. Their eyes were opened. Now they knew the whole thing that God was doing as they journeyed toward this place. Watch this. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" But they knew these things. But now they understood them. You see the difference? They understood them because God gave them that understanding, which, by the way, when you consider this, it empowered their lives. And so the last thought right here, we find here the power of God. Verse 31, "And their eyes were opened." That was the Lord that did that, right? They didn't do it on their own. "Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And the other one is saying, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what was going on. "And they rose up the same hour." Were they a little excited? Yeah. Do you know, sometimes you can get wrapped up. Have you ever visited with somebody and it's getting late. You know, 10 o'clock, we better get going. And you make it over, like maybe you're at the dining room table and you stop over in the living room, and all of a sudden another 30 minutes go by. You make it to the door. Oh, wait, better yet, you make it outside. The weather's beautiful, right? It's in the evening. And so you discuss, and my goodness, you planned on leaving at 10. What happened? It's 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock. My goodness, it's getting late, right? You get caught up in a good time, in a good conversation. Who better with to get caught up with than the Lord and his blessings? And so they're all excited. Verse 33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem," another 6.61 miles, "and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them." Now listen to this. They've got a witness saying, this is what they said, "The Lord is risen indeed." Now some women were talking about that. Remember when they were telling the Lord, some women, you know, they said something strange happened here. But now they've got a witness, don't they? "The Lord is risen indeed," they said, and "hath appeared to Simon." Now, that's an interesting statement. I'm going to read verse 35 and get back to that statement. "And they told what what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I just want to give you another little piece of information that the Lord put together for me. All right. So here's their testimony now, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." That's Simon Peter. Why? Why? Well, because Simon Peter was the one that denied the Lord three times. And he said, "Hey, listen, I'm not forgetting about Simon." Now, I want you to look at the order of things here just for a moment, because God is a God of order, is he not? So we're finished here for the most part, but I want to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, just for a moment. In fact, I might do this a little bit different. Let's look at verse 1, just for a moment. We have a moment here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. "Moreover, brethren," this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, "I declare unto you the gospel," this is the gospel now, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." I preached this gospel that you've trusted in. But notice verse 2, "by which also ye are saved." So you've received it, you're saved, "if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Listen to this. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So he's giving them the order of things. "And he was buried," right? He was buried. "And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And notice this, "and that he was seen of" who? "Cephas. Then the 12. Do you see this? "After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Some have died again, maybe because of age or what have you. So the Lord didn't forget about Peter. And let me ask you this question. Do you think Peter felt that the Lord should have forgotten about him? Probably felt that he should have forgotten about him because he denied him. He truly realized that he failed the Lord. That he failed the Lord. Do you think Peter felt that he failed the Lord when he denied him three times? Did Peter mean well? Did he love the Lord and he meant well? Do we love the Lord and mean well, and yet maybe we have failed him in our own strength? We have failed him. But he has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten us. He says, "I want to show you the way." Not our way, not the way we think, but God wants to show us his way. Isn't that what he revealed to those two disciples? God was revealing how he works. And if we approach the Lord based upon how he works, he'll wow us. He will wow and awe us and revolutionize our salvation. All these disciples, they were saved. But they were in the mully grubs. They had lost the understanding of the excitement of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to give you the Comforter, and he's going to guide you into all of these truths. And so the Lord wants us, well, let me ask you like this, does the Lord want us to understand all of these truths? He does. And here's how he wants us to understand it. He wants us to know that he reveals them to us. He feeds his sheep through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a way. Listen, do you know that April is the, and I'm not saying we need to go back to the Hebrew law, but it's the first month of the year. What a way to start out or to continue the year 2022 with understanding that the Lord has not forgotten us and that he wants to do a great work in your life and mine. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your wisdom. And Lord, for the way that you work in performing your will in our lives. I pray that you bless the invitation May we realize that we just need to invite you to show us the way. We've called upon you as you've asked us to. We've believed on you as salvation is concerned. But Lord, there's so much more to understand and to enjoy in the salvation and in the grace that you've given to us. Help us to understand and to know, Lord, what you have for us. Bless the invitation. We'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.